Father, we are not worthy of the least of your favors. But Father, we rejoice in the fact that you've made them available to us in Jesus. So we trust you and trust in the merits of Jesus this morning to make our worship acceptable. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. How are you today? Did you have a good week today? Trevor, how old are you? You're 11 years old. Okay. Is there anybody here that's 12? You're 12? You're 12? Okay. All right. Well, this story might have some importance to you as I tell it to you. Have any of you ever thought about what you could do to witness to someone else, to tell them about Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? I know Trevor's given me some little papers with words written on it. Do you remember that? I thought that was really nice. To give us encouragement and to encourage others, it's always really nice. Well, Elias, he lived in a country. It was called the Dominican Republic. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, he lived in the Dominican Republic, and he had three brothers and two sisters, so there were six children. His mother and dad lived there with them all together. They were very, very poor. His dad was a very, very nice man, and he loved his children and was always a very gentle person to the children and caring, but their mother... Oh, their mother was not very nice. And if they said something or did something that she didn't like, she would just slap them or scream and holler. It was terrible. And sometimes she would even beat the children. It was not good at all. They were so poor, they didn't even have water that ran in the house. The children would have to take buckets down to the stream and carry water up to the house to drink and also to take their baths in. It was a really rough life. And Dad had a little orchard that he sold stuff, but the boys would have to go out and pick avocados, and they would pick them and put them in a bag, 12 in a bag, and then they'd go down to the village and they'd sell them by the sack full of avocados. And when they got their money, they would be able to buy a uniform so they could go to school. But they didn't have enough money to buy two uniforms, so they would have to share. In fact, sometimes the two older brothers would have to share shoes. Because the school in the Dominican Republic, they had a class in the morning and then they had another one in the afternoon. So one of the boys would go to school in the morning and wear the shoes, and then they'd come home and the other boy would wear the shoes and go to school in the afternoon. They really had a rough time. Well, Mother saved up enough money so that she could buy some things, so that she could sell things on the street. So it was like a little shop on the street, and she would sell some clothing. And every day, those children had to get up and carry all the boxes into the village and set up this little street store so that Mom could sell the stuff so that they could have some money so they could live. And every evening, they would have to go back, fold everything up, and put it into the boxes and carry it back home. And they did this 7 days a week. Oh, the children worked very hard just to help around the house and to help Mom and Dad. But Mom was really mean to them, and she would just scream and yell and holler. It was just an awful time at that house. When Elias turned 12 years old, he was in school, and there was a boy there. And a lot of the kids made fun of him. But instead of calling him what his real name was, they called him Christian because he went to church. And he was a nice, nice boy. Why, he was nice to everyone, no matter who they were. If they were mean to him, he was still nice. Elias liked that boy, and he would talk to him and visit with him, and he really enjoyed his company. One day, Christian asked Elias if he'd like to go with him to Pathfinder Club. Well, Elias had never heard about a Pathfinder Club. What's a Pathfinder Club? And Christian explained to him what it was. It's a group of people that get together, and there's children there, and we do crafts, and we learn about Jesus, and we do marching. And oh, Elias thought that sounded like a lot of fun. So he said, sure, I'll go with you. So Elias went. Oh, Elias loved Pathfinders. He loved the marching especially. That was really lots of fun for him. He really liked that. Elias went every week with him to Pathfinders. Why, he looked forward to going to Pathfinders. It was so much fun. Well, after a few weeks after he went, there was a lady there, and she went up to Elias and she said, would you like to take Bible studies and learn about the Bible? Elias thought that would be a great idea, and he said, yes, I would love to. And Elias took Bible studies, and before long, Elias accepted Jesus, and he wanted to be baptized. And that's exactly what he did. He was baptized. Now, Mom was not happy about that at all. And she made things really difficult for Elias, even more difficult than they were before. Well, when Elias got up in the morning, he did just exactly what his mom had wanted with the other brothers and sisters. He helped carry all the boxes down to the street and set them up for Mom. And in the evening, he'd carry them back. But on Sabbath morning, Elias didn't do it. And Mom said, you are going to help. No, Mom, I can't. I'm sorry. I love Jesus, and I'm not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and I can't help you do that today. And she became very angry, and she started beating him. And she would beat him so hard that he would start to bleed. But Elias refused to do it. He would not do it because that was the Lord's special, special day. This went on for almost 2 years. Elias never, ever gave in to help his mom with the shop in the village on Sabbath. One day, Mother fixed a very special dinner, and she prepared it and put it in front of each of the children. And Elias looked at it, and he thought, oh, no. I can't eat that food. Why, it's food that I should not be eating. So Elias pushed his plate back just a little bit from the table and said, Mama, you know I don't eat that kind of food anymore. And his mom became very angry, and she took the spatula and slapped it right across his face. Elias got up from the table, and he ran out the front door and went walking down the street. Why, he didn't know what to do. So he walked and he walked and he walked till he got to the church, the Adventist church. There was no one there, but he ran around to the back of the church, and in the back there was a little room and the door was open. So he went in there and he thought, I'll just live here. So Elias stayed at the church in the back of the church. And his sister, she knew exactly where her brother had gone. And so she would save food. She would slip it into the napkin and she would save it. And then after dinner, each evening, she would take it down to the church so Elias would have something to eat. Well, on Sabbath morning, Elias would come out of the back and go through the front and so that he could go to church. But all he had on was a pair of shorts and a sleeveless t-shirt. And after a few weeks, he started looking pretty bad and smelling kind of bad, too. And one Sabbath morning, the deacon that was there early getting things ready for the church saw Elias, and Elias came in to kind of ask him if he could help him get some things ready. And the deacon looked at him and said, what are you doing here in church dressed like that? You know better than to come to church like that. You need to get some clean clothes on and clean yourself up. Don't be coming to the church looking like that. Oh, Elias felt so sad. Why, Elias just turned around. He hung his head and he walked out. Now what was he going to do? He didn't have any place to stay at all. So he started walking down the street. And he walked and he walked and he walked. And pretty soon he saw a man working in an auto garage behind his house. And he thought, maybe that man would help me. So he went back there and asked the man if he could stay in his garage, if it would be a problem. And the man said, "No, you can stay in the garage if you want. In fact, you can even sleep in that old van over there if you want to." Oh, Elias was so glad. At least he had a place to stay now. And besides that, the man's wife would bring him out some food every evening. Well, during the day, Elias would work with this man, and he learned a lot about cars and how to fix cars. One day, there was a man that drove his car into the garage, and he wanted to get it fixed, and he told the man, he said, "I'll be back later today." So the mechanic said, "Okay, I'll have it ready for you." Elias went over to help him work on the car. When he looked in, he saw a magazine and he recognized it. Why, it was an Adventist magazine. It was something like a Signs of the Times that we get. And he looked at it and he thought, "Oh, I wonder if that man's an Adventist." Oh, he was getting so excited. So he worked right along with the mechanic to get that car done. And soon that afternoon, the man came back. And Elias went right over to talk to him. And he said, "Sir, do you know anything about that magazine that's in your car?" And the man said, "Of course. That's one of my magazines that I hand out to people." And Elias says, "Are you an Adventist?" He said, "Why, young man, I am. I'm an Adventist pastor." Elias's eyes lit up. He was so excited. He said, "Sir, I'm so glad to meet you." And Elias told him his story, his very sad, sad story about how he had been treated at home and how he had to run away from home and how the deacon had been mean to him and he didn't have any place to live. But this mechanic had let him stay in the garage, and at night he even got to sleep in the seat in the old van. Well, the pastor said, "Come with me." He said, "Let's go back to your house. I'll talk to your parents." And Elias was kind of scared, and he says, "I'll be there with you." So off they went, the two of them. They went over to Elias's house. And Elias's dad was so happy to see him. And the pastor talked to him and said, "You can't treat Elias like that. Why, you can't be beating him and hurting him like that." And his parents said, "Oh, we're so glad that he's back. We will be kind to him." Elias asked the pastor, "But I want to work and help you." And the pastor said, "Well, you know, I'm getting ready to start some evangelistic meetings. Would you like to help me with them?" Elias was so excited, he wanted to. So every night, the pastor would come and pick him up, and they would go to the evangelistic series. Well, for 2 weeks, the pastor preached, and then the pastor got really, really sick. He was so sick, he was going to have to cancel the last 2 weeks of the meetings. Oh, Elias said, "No, you can't cancel them." He said, "I'll preach. I can preach. I know I can do it." Elias was only 12 years old. And the pastor thought, "Are you sure you can do that?" "Oh, yes, I know I can do it." So the pastor said, "All right, I'll let you finish that series." So Elias stayed at the church and slept there because he couldn't drive the car and he didn't have one. So he stayed at the church and he preached every night for the next 2 weeks. And do you know, at the end of those 2 weeks, that there were 6 people baptized from those meetings? Elias was so excited, he could not believe how the Lord had blessed him. Well, when he turned 14, he was so excited, he decided that he was going to be a pastor. And when he was 15, he was asked to do another series of meetings. Oh, he was so excited to have the opportunity to do it. But they were going to be held in Pentecostal church. Well, they got permission, and Elias did the preaching at the Pentecostal church. And at the end of the 4 weeks, there were 21 people baptized, the whole Pentecostal church, including the pastor. It was amazing. The Lord had blessed. Well, when Elias turned 16, he was asked to do evangelistic meetings again. And he would be doing 2 of them every evening, one starting at 6:30 and one starting at 8:30. He did 2. 2 meetings every night. And at the end of those meetings, there were 47 people that were baptized. 47, can you imagine? And he was only 16 years old. Elias loved the Lord and he enjoyed sharing it with everyone he came in contact with. Today, Elias lives in the United States and he has a wife and 2 little boys. And he loves the Lord. And do you know that he's been invited to go back to the Dominican Republic this October? And he's going to preach in his very own hometown. And he's praying that his brothers and sisters and mom and dad will come to those meetings. And that maybe they will just give their heart and their life to Jesus while he gives these meetings. Boys and girls, you may know Elias even more. You might get to meet him. Because Elias works right here and continues to serve the Lord. Because Elias is the treasurer of the New York Conference. And his name is Elder Florencio Zabala. Have any of you met him? Next time you see him, you ask him to tell you more stories. Because he's told me his story, and it's a really long story. And oh, it was so hard for me to cut out some of the story. He has an amazing story that you would enjoy hearing. So next time you see him, you ask him if he'll tell you another story about him when he was a little boy. And just remember, even though you're young, you can still work for the Lord and witness for others and be a blessing to those you come in contact with.
So our scripture reading is Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So
what does the preacher preach about on his second last sermon? You know, if I say that right, that gives me an opportunity for another one, doesn't it? Because if I put the emphasis different, it's the second last sermon, which means there's another one yet to come. But we'll leave that in the Lord's hands. What really should I preach about? What is this weekend? I guess that most of you would say Easter, because we are affected by our pagan Christian culture. But what is this weekend? What is today? Today is Passover. And it's interesting that we have the same scenario that was the weekend Jesus died. Preparation for Passover was on Friday, and Jesus was crucified as the lamb that was to be crucified or to be slain at 3:00 in the afternoon. And if you study the record, Jesus died at 3:00 in the afternoon. And Josephus, the historian, tells us that when the high priest took the knife to kill the lamb, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, and we know that. And it startled the priests, and he dropped the knife, and the lamb got away. God was trying to tell Israel that the true lamb had come, and they didn't need the animal lamb anymore as an illustration. So today, as was mentioned earlier, this is the day. Back in history, it was the day that the disciples thought that all of their hopes were gone. That they were so baffled because they were so sure that Jesus was the Messiah. But the Messiah would not be killed. He was to take the throne. So, had they been deceived? What had gone wrong? You know, that parallels the disappointment of 1844. And our detractors say, well, you know, they made a mistake and they were disappointed because they had a false prophecy and so on. But it was in the Lord's providence that they misunderstood, just as it was that the disciples misunderstood. Now, Jesus tried to tell the disciples, but they weren't listening. Jesus actually sent a young man, gave him the vision that he gave Ellen White after the disappointment, that time would last beyond 1844, that October 22, but he refused to give the message. So disappointment is not something new among God's people. Misunderstanding prophecies is not new among God's people. It's happened before and it happened again. But this weekend, as we commemorate, as the pagan Christian culture commemorates Easter, we think of the resurrection of Jesus. They do, many of them, as they have it mixed with the symbols of paganism. And sometimes we do the same. But Jesus died on Friday, right on time. He rested in the tomb on Sabbath, on Passover, right on time. And on Sunday morning, right on time, he rose from the grave and ascended to the Father and offered himself as the first fruits of those that sleep in the dust. And Sunday morning was the feast of the wave sheaf that was offered before God. And Jesus, Paul says, is that wave sheaf. He's the first fruits of those that sleep in the dust. So those yearly Sabbaths were fulfilled exactly in sequence by the life and ministry of Jesus, as later the Day of Atonement and so on is fulfilled by the life and ministry of Jesus. So today is a high day because the Sabbath and Passover come together, the yearly Sabbath and the weekly Sabbath. And that's why it was a high day at the time of Jesus. Now we also have a high day because we're going to have a baptism today. So we have a high day in more ways than one. Will, it's good to see so many here. Maybe we should have announced that I was leaving sooner. Anyway, it's good to have everybody here. So I want to share with you just a little bit, and we're going to, I won't be through by 12:30, so hang on. But I will be through before 1:15, I promise. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I didn't say how long before, but it will be before that, I promise. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the gospel of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. It's not just a nice historical fact. It is in Jesus, by faith, that we receive the power to be accepted in a special way as God's children, to be forgiven of our sins, and empowered to overcome those sins. It's not the power of the gospel the gospel is not good enough just to forgive our sins, or what hope is there for eternity? Because if we carry our sins on with us into heaven, it won't be any better than this. And that's why we look forward to the coming of Jesus, right? So that we can go to something better. So we have the power of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. So why to the Jew first? Did God love the Jews more than the Gentiles or the Greeks? Pardon? Okay. Abraham and his descendants were in covenant relationship. And they had two symbols of the covenant. One was circumcision, which that pointed forward to the Messiah through that bloodline, through that genetic line. So when the Messiah came, that rite ended because the Messiah had come. And Jesus instituted another rite as a symbol of the covenant, and that is baptism that we're going to celebrate today. So baptism is a symbol of entering into the covenant relationship with Jesus. Now there's another symbol that he's given us of the covenant, a sign of the covenant. And what is that? Pardon? What's the sign of the covenant? It's the Sabbath. God set that aside as the sign of the covenant relationship with him. That if we're faithful to keep his commandments, all of them, we're in covenant relationship with him. So in him, we have that covenant relationship by baptism and by the Sabbath. Those are symbols of our faith. Now, do the symbols carry it in themselves? Just like the lamb was a symbol of, offering the lamb was a symbol of faith in Jesus. Offering the lamb didn't save them, did it? It was their commitment to Jesus, to the Messiah who was to come. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul says that I may know him and the power of what? Of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If Jesus didn't come and live as a human being, we would have no hope. And conquer, be sinless as a human being, we would have no hope. But if he didn't die in our place, we would have no hope. Because it's the substitutionary death that is laid out in the scripture that is our only hope of salvation. And then if he didn't rise to life, he said, I have power in myself to raise back to life. If he didn't have that power, if he didn't come back to life, we would have no hope. So it takes his sinless human life, his death in our place, and his resurrection to life again is our hope. And in that is the power of salvation through Jesus Christ. So, for whom did Jesus die? Okay. That's kind of a trick question. We'll take two verses that seem to say something different. Romans chapter 1. No, I'm sorry. I went backwards in my notes. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now that's good news, isn't it? Because we know that we're all sinners. So he calls us not to sin, but when we do, his blood is there to cover us if we trust in him. Verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And some of you were pointing to yourself, Jesus died for me, and that's true. It has to become personal. It's not enough that he died for the world, he died for me. So for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Will everyone be saved? Now there's an apparent conflicting verse, but I think it makes good sense in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we want verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So who's the her? So Jesus gave himself for the church. Well, we read that he gave himself for the whole world, and here says that he gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and so on. So Jesus gave himself for his church. Husbands, did you ever do something for your wife that wasn't really appreciated, but you intended it to be appreciated? none of us ever had that, right? Well, two or three years ago, we had a little problem with water drainage at our place, and the water would go into the basement, go right down the wall and come in underneath. I had taken down the sugar shack that Cecilia wanted gone, and it was kind of an eyesore, and she wanted it gone, and we took care of that, burned it up. I got Robin to come and dig out a big stump, and there was another part of the yard that needed some attention. There were, when we had finished the back part of the building, the yard was was a mess. Marty helped do some grading and so on, and that fall, it just turned into a mess because it was too late in the year. And we put boards out across from the porch out to the driveway and so on. Well, I wanted to do something with the yard. I wanted to do some grading and get the water to move away from the house instead of going down in. And so I tilled up a section between the two porches and beyond, just a little bit on either side. And it was in the fall. And Cecilia was not happy because she knew it was going to be a mess and that we'd have another muddy mess through the winter. Well, I then had, I think little Ryan borrowed Will's little excavator and, or not excavator, but the skid loader. And old Ryan moved some dirt from where I'd tilled it up. I'd tilled it so that he could get it up. And so we had this big section inside of the house that was going to be a muddy mess. And I thought she would be excited that I was working on it, but it wasn't the case. So in the back of the old building, was the brick outhouse, and I had saved the bricks. And I made two brick walkways out from the two porches. And that got us past, at least gave us a place to walk through the mud. And I got the rest of it graded real quick and seeded and put some straw on it to help it grow. Well, you see, I know that Cecilia is visual. And she wanted it to look good. But I tend to be the same, and I wanted it to look good. So was I doing it for her, or was I doing it for me? I was doing it for both. So did Jesus die for the church? Or did he do it for himself? Or did he do it for those watching on? Because when people come into our yard, I wanted the place to look nice. And Cecilia wanted it to look nice. Because we're visual people. And so I did it for her. I did it for me. And I did it for people who saw. Jesus died for the whole world. But he died especially for those that he knew would accept his truths and submit their lives to him. Now, did he leave out the rest? No, he made provision for them. They're without excuse. But he especially did it. In Romans 8, it says, those that he foreknew, he predestined to be made like his son. It doesn't say he predestined them to be saved or lost. He predestined them to be made like his son. So the prearranged plan was that we would be made like Jesus. And he knew who would. He says those that he foreknew, he predestined to be made like his son. So he knew who would accept him and commit their lives to him. And those are especially the ones that he died for. You and I are in covenant relationship with Jesus. You know, in marriage today, the symbol that is used for the union of two people is a wedding ring. Now, I don't happen to believe that I need one because of the commitment that I make. I try to believe that. We were talking about before Sabbath school this morning that it used to be that a person's word was good. And that's the way it should be. But we use the ring as a symbol. And this afternoon we're going to use a baptism as a symbol of the union of two lives with Jesus. And then the other sign of faithfulness to God's commandments is the Sabbath. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to take a few more minutes. Revelation 12, the first two verses. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So who is this woman?
Church.
But Jesus isn't born yet in these verses. Because she's the woman is about to give birth. So who is this woman? It's Israel. It's the Old Testament church. And the sign of the covenant between the Old Testament church and his people were his commandments and the Sabbath and the sacrificial system. Notice if we follow on, and John uses the same woman to depict God's people from Old Testament all the way through New Testament. Which means it's the same faith, basically, from beginning to end. Paul uses another illustration that says basically the same, and he uses the olive tree. And the natural branches of the olive tree are broken off. Why? Because of unbelief. And because of their unbelief, they rebel against him. They don't do what he says because they don't believe him. And so they're broken off. And then he says to the Gentiles, because you have been grafted in, don't boast over the natural branches, because they can be grafted in more naturally than you can. So he uses the olive tree as a symbol of the faith all the way through the Bible. And here John uses the symbol of the woman. Notice verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that she should be fed there, they should feed her there, 1,260 days. So when was that? When was the church in hiding in the wilderness? Through the Middle Ages, through the reign of the papacy, 538 to 1798. God's church is in hiding. So any church that is out in the open and already started in that time is not God's remnant church. Does that mean God doesn't love them? No. It's not what it means. But it means they're not his last day church. Skipping down to verse 17. In the end, his remnant is to appear. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. So it's the same church and the same signs who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? All through Israel, through the Old Testament, God sent messages of correction and reproof and guidance to his people through the prophets. And his last day church will be the same. They will have a prophet that will give reproof and correction and guidance to help his people and prepare for the coming of Jesus. So we have, in Revelation 12, they have the Old Testament church that has the commandments of God and the spirit of prophecy. And we have the New Testament church in the last days, the remnant in the time of the end, that will have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus or the spirit of prophecy. What happened when Israel didn't want to listen to the prophets? They were taken into Babylon or overcome by other nations. The same will happen to us as a people or us as individuals among God's people. Now, one more quick passage, chapter 12, Revelation, not 12, chapter 10. And we want verse 9 through the end of the chapter. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. What book is this? Okay. He said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Which comes first, the mouth or the stomach? Okay, so their first experience was when they studied the prophecies of Daniel. They had a sweet experience. They were looking forward to the coming of Jesus. They were so excited. And he didn't come. And it became a very bitter experience to them. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, or too many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So after the disappointment, There was to be an ongoing message calling God's people. God has given his remnant the three angels' messages. And it is our job. We are duty-bound to take these messages to all around us. But not only are we duty-bound, but when we do it and someone accepts it, we have a glorious experience. And that's the joy of Jesus. When we enter into the joy of the Lord, that's what we're entering into, is leading people to Jesus, to receive him and his truths, and to be a part of his woman from Old Testament through the all through the New Testament. To hold to the faith of the prophets. To hold to the commands of God and the faith of Jesus. Do we love Jesus? If we love Jesus, then we love his truth, we love his church, we love his people. And we love other people and want to help them to come to a knowledge of the truth. If we're not sharing the messages of these last days to prepare people to meet Jesus, and loving doing it, we don't have the Spirit of Jesus. It's that simple. If we have the Spirit of Jesus, then we will glory in the opportunities to share his love and his truths with others. we still think that we're leaving. The attorney hasn't given us the closing date yet, but everything's in place and we're just waiting for the attorneys to do their thing. One of the things that I wanted to do was plant a church in Oswego, and you cooperated with me and we did that. They're struggling a little. That's the offspring of this church. What do you do with your offspring? Do you just kick them out and say, oh, you're on your own now? Or do you do everything in your power to help them grow? And there are other towns in this district. Mexico, Phoenix. And between us and Westvale and Syracuse, there's Clay, and one has been planted in Baldwinsville. The gospel has to go, or we won't go to heaven until the work is done. So if we have the love of Jesus, we'll have the love for his church, for his people, for his truths, for getting the work finished and everyone into the kingdom that we can before it's too late. And so he gives us that message. The second angel's message is, we're to sound, come out of her, my people. He has people in the other churches that do not yet realize that Saturday is the Sabbath of the Bible. And there are some who realize it, but don't realize that it's important, and they need to hear that. This morning, afternoon, do you love Jesus? Will you commit yourself and everything in your power to advance his kingdom and his truth so that others can be saved before it's too late? And in saving others, you'll be saving yourself. Yeah, Jesus is the one that saves us, but when we share with others, it strengthens us. So we actually participate in our own salvation by helping others and sharing the truth with them. Do you want to have that experience? someone is going to say something to you that you will not like in God's church. I've had it happen to me. What will you do about it? Do you love Jesus and his truth and his church and his people enough to say, I'm going straight ahead no matter what anyone else does? Because you will be tested. And the Lord will allow you to be tested to see where your heart is. If that's your commitment, would you stand with me? And I trust that the commitment is solid and genuine. We have been given a special blessing as a people. And let's sing about it. Number 304, faith of our fathers. You and I have been given the faith that God has given to this church for the last days to prepare a people to meet him. It's the faith in Jesus that is the power of the gospel that changes our hearts and brings us into full submission to all of his